Yeah. What's going on, everybody? We are back again. Actually, we're not back again. This is actually our first show after we signed with Mike's Pod.
Facts.
Yeah.
So it's like we start all over.
We're starting fresh, but you know what? New beginnings is always a good thing. So yeah, welcome to the Moo and Q Show, podcast with Moo and Q, you know. Now we're just making up new names, James.
Making up names as we go, bro.
My bad. But yeah.
How was your weekend, bro?
My weekend? It was rough.
Wow, what happened, man?
You know, I had a wedding I had to shoot, and you know, it's a wedding, American husband.
For those who don't know, he didn't mean shoot.
No.
I know he's in the military.
Not drive-by shooting or gangbanging. I'm talking about photo shooting.
He's a photographer.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know. Okay, yeah. So a little about me, like, I'm a photographer. For those you guys don't know, because I see a lot of comments saying, you know, yeah, Muta did this and this and this, and then you got this Asian guy. That's it. So
everybody call you the Asian guy.
Yeah, just the Asian guy. They don't know what I did. You know, I used to be in Hollywood. I used to work in Hollywood in fashion. Mm. I'm a former art director for the LA Fashion Magazine. Professional fashion photographer. Actually started off as my dream was to be a talent manager.
Okay.
You know, and I would tell my parents that, my father, especially my father, I was like, I want to be a talent manager. That's my dream. He's like, we don't believe in dreams here. We believe in money. You become a doctor and get the money. And I'm like, why? I want to follow my dreams. Like,
typical
look.
Asian family.
Yeah. And he's like, look, check this out. You get the money, then you could buy your dream. And I was like, this dude. I was like, man.
Your pops wasn't playing though. He gave you some good advice there. Get that money, but you got to follow your dreams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you
still, because I believe you come from like the typical conservative Asian family.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, so when you became a photographer, that's pretty much something that you don't.
Oh, yeah.
It's not,
I got disowned.
Amongst you got disowned for being
I got
a
disowned, man, when I was working in Hollywood.
Wow.
Look, I remember. I didn't fail. I got A-. A-- in trigonometry.
Wow.
A-. It's still an A.
Yes.
For everybody else in the world, it's still an A.
Yes.
For my family, he beat the crap out of me because I got an A-. He's like, that's just like a B.
But did it work though? Did you get the A-plus the next time? Did you get the A-plus?
No, I just got the A. He's okay with the A.
He's okay with
a regular A. Is like A- in our family.
That
so
whooping
should
have gave you the A+, bro.
Yeah, he gave me that whooping, but not the Joe Jackson. You know what he did to the Jackson 5 beating.
But to be honest, bro, I believe that you know, I'm old fashioned.
Yeah,
I think that of course you got to be balanced when you raise kids.
Yeah,
and whoopings help. Believe it or not, I'm not talking about to the point where you were abusing the kids and you're physically harming them. But they did a study in America where research shows that, you know, children that was you know, that grew up in a, you know, conservative, not even just conservative, they grew up being disciplined.
Yeah.
Whether conservative or not, but they had some disciplinary actions being dealt on them, whether it's, you know, timeouts. You know what I mean? In my household, there was no such things.
There's no such thing. A timeout, you know, doesn't work.
They just basically was disciplined.
Yeah.
You know, and even whooping, like the article mentioned, whoopings.
Yeah.
That those kids turn out to be better kids than those who don't get whoopings.
Or in the white terms, you want to say spanking.
Spankings. Yeah, let's
spanking.
So I grew up, bro. I got spanked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm thankful. You know what I mean? I don't regret the way that I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret that the way that my grandparents and my uncles and my aunts dealt with me.
Yeah.
Because we needed, majority of the time, we needed.
Yeah.
We needed it, bro.
And granted, you know what I mean? When we were kids getting spanked, we used to be like, man, I hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate them. I'm never doing that to my kids.
Away.
But then when you grow up and you see the light and you start seeing the real world.
True.
You know, and you're on your own, you're like, dang, I think my dad should have whooped me more.
Yeah, I mean, my brother, my Korean brother from another mother.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? You know, I could count on even though, because I don't really whoop my kids, but if they have to get spanked, they're going to get spanked. But the way I raised them, it wasn't the way I was raised because, you know, I believe it was a little overboard.
Same
that I used to get spanked, you know.
It was like almost borderline illegal what they were doing.
Yeah, man, I think I don't even want to. We might have to edit this out in America. Yeah. You're digging up graves, you're going to jail. You know? But my kids, I don't really think that I can probably count on one hand the time that I really spanked them. You know what I mean? Because every kid have a different personality. Mm-hmm. And I tend to be able to read what the personality of the kid, like some of them I need it. And my kid, my son Khaled, I sometimes look at him and be like, thank God I'm in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Because this kid, I don't know how he behaved. He's just like me when I was a kid. It's scary.
But that's crazy, bruh, though, because I've seen Khaled and he looks like the good one. Muhammad being all that, like being like a big tree.
They're good kids. Don't get me wrong. My kids, they all are. Thank Allah, they're good kids.
I love your kids, man.
You know, I have 5 kids. The oldest, 21, Salik, Muhammad, Khaled, Aisha, Salman. Salman is the youngest. Mm-hmm. But Muhammad is quiet. You know, Muhammad got that laid back. He's real. He's shy. He's quiet. Yeah. They're all shy. But Khaled have that in them where I got to look at him and be like, alhamdulillah, I'm in this country, bro.
Yeah.
Because I think
But I never would have expected that with Khaled.
Yeah, bro, don't get
Muhammad
it twisted.
Looks more like the type who would do that, though.
Nah, Muhammad's the more quiet one. Like,
yeah, he is quiet, though. Yeah, he is quiet,
I'm
though.
I'm talking about Khaled was the person. I mean, Khaled was the kid. When I put him in school, this is no exaggeration. The first day that he went to, like, the middle school, I mean, not middle school, when he went to the international school with his brother, the first day, if I'm not mistaken, or the second day, got to a fight. This guy, even though he's tiny, he's looking, he loves getting into fights. So I got to always sit him down and explain to him what is wrong with you. He go from 0 to 100, like how I used to be. So it's scary, like 0 to 100 like this. Muhammad is more calm, Salman is calm, Salik is calm, Aisha is calm, but Khaled is the one that I'm like, and it reminds me a lot of, like when I was a kid, I had that innocent look.
Yeah.
Bro, when I was a kid, if I show you pictures when I was a kid, I looked innocent, but I was on the middle of the neighborhood, 9, 10 years old, and with killers and murder, drug dealers and killers and murderers.
I mean, that's
how
I was in the hood, though.
That's how I was. Yeah. Even though that innocent look, I could look innocent, mm-hmm. but I know I'm out there in the streets with the rest of the people, you know what I mean?
Dang, that's crazy. You know, I just remember when you mentioned your elder son.
Salik.
When I met you, you're like, hey, I just found this out. My son follows you.
Yeah, he was following you on Instagram. I was like, I think I asked him, like, man, how you following Q, bro?
That's how small the world is, though, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way from LA, and then all of a sudden, I'm in Saudi Arabia, and boom. Wow.
Dope,
you know?
dope.
And we clicked, dope. Though, you know? We clicked. So it was
day
all good.
One, man.
You know?
That West Coast.
It's the way. I think it's because I'm from LA.
How are your kids doing, bro?
My kids are great. They go to school in Korea. They're in Korea.
Why did you... If you don't mind me asking, what made you put them in school in Korea when they're Americans?
Because I want them to be Korean smart, not American smart. Whoa. What I mean by that,
Damn, you just destroyed.
I ain't gonna lie, you know.
Freedom, bro. What's wrong with you, bro?
So all the FBI talk,
FBI talk just went out the window.
Yep.
I don't know. You might get a hood point. Take a CIA point down, add another hood point. Malcolm X would have been proud of you for this one.
No, it's because you know, the education, and especially now,
yes,
in this generation, they dumbed it down.
I feel you.
Back then, if you couldn't hack it with everybody else, they failed you. You're doing that grade over.
Yeah.
Now they don't do that, though.
Because they have, in America, they have that every child should not be left alone, something like that. Yeah. I believe it's every child.
I call
child,
it the trophy generation.
Yeah, where every child should not be left
everybody
alone.
Everybody gets a trophy.
You have to pass the kid regardless of his grades. I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that. Because you got the super smart ones.
For sure.
That can now, they can't progress, or they can't see where their limitations are in their knowledge because of the fact that they have to get down here with with the dumb kids, you know? And I don't want to say dumb kids, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, not dumb kids. We'd take that back. The kid, like, you know, kids different levels. Some study harder than the other ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the difference in Korea? Tell me, like.
Korean, like if my daughter right now, she's in 5th grade.
Okay.
She's learning 8th grade work.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if my daughter was in 5th grade.
Asians are known to always been serious when it comes to education.
They're learning like a couple grades up. Like my son, he's 10 years old. Yes. He's in 1st grade and he's already doing like pre-algebra.
Wow.
As a 1st grader.
Wow.
Compared to the U.S., you know, if you're in 1st grade, you're barely learning the ABCs. You know what I mean?
Or tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
You play tic-tac-toe.
You could barely count to 20.
You know what's up.
But the education, the one thing is, I didn't mean to cut you off, but in the U.S.,
yes.
Like, especially my favorite subject used to be history.
That's my favorite subject now.
Yeah,
I love history.
Even now.
You know what I mean?
But I just realized what I learned in history in high school back in LA or in America, period.
Yes.
They don't teach you everything.
They don't teach you real.
The correct.
They don't teach world history.
No.
They teach American history.
Enough to make the U.S. look
mm.
sympathetic at the same time better. They don't actually tell you the whole truth. That's why they say the truth. So help me.
That's why they say history main. His story. Whoever wins the war gets to tell his story. Story. Whoever conquers the land get to tell his story. As for example, like
especially Black history.
Black history. I'm gonna go to Black and Brown history. For example, when you think about what we was taught growing up, that Christopher Columbus discovered America.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real, bro. How can you discover a place or a continent or a country where people already live?
Exactly. I was about to say
people already live and they already thriving. In fact, they discovered Christopher Columbus, the Taino people.
Yeah, because he was lost, right?
He was lost at sea. It was the Taino people because the Caribbeans was made of the descendants of the Arawak people. The Arawak people from South America, they migrated to the Caribbeans and they were standing, they're Native Americans, which we call Native Americans or Indian Americans.
Which basically means the OG Americans.
The original Americans, you know what I mean? So they was actually, they migrated, the Arawak people migrated from South America to the Caribbeans where they started to populate Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Haiti. And then also you have Bahamas and these areas. So when Christopher Columbus came, they say, some say Puerto Rico, some historians say Bahamas, that he was lost at sea, but it was the Taino people. This is a known fact because Christopher Columbus himself documented that he came in contact with the Taino people first. So they welcomed him. Yeah. I think maybe a couple of days later, he ended up in Puerto Rico where they welcomed him. And next thing you know, he started slaughtering the people.
Yeah.
The Taino history is very, a lot of research about it because my DNA, you know, test shows that, of course, I'm a descendant, a small amount, which is still considered big because of this is a race of people that was considered wiped off the planet.
Yeah.
And now you know that 60% of Puerto Ricans can trace their lineage back and also Black history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't let my kids watch slave movies.
Why is that? Why is that? What's up with that?
Every slave movie, in my opinion, if you know the history of America, it seems like every year or every couple years, they put out a slave movie where they show Black people. Because you got to understand, television and these things is here to, in some cases, to brainwash the people.
And that's Hollywood, though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so Hollywood, especially.
They want to control you with these images and thoughts. So, for example, if you see an image of a hamburger every 5 commercials, you're going to end up going to the store and eating a hamburger.
Yeah.
So, if you're watching a movie every 2 years and they just showing Black people being humiliated and oppressed by white people, it might start looking as if we belong in this level.
At that level,
and the white people automatically, because this is the
more
image.
Superior.
They're more superior and we inferior because this is the image we see all our life. So I don't let my kids watch slave movies because in my case, I feel like I'm the descendant of the slaves who fought back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unless I can see a slave movie that shows them fighting back, dying for freedom, my kids can watch that. Yeah. But if it's going to be a slave movie where you showing Black people get whipped saying, yes, massa, all that, that stuff, my kids can't watch that. You're going to see the slave rebelling, fighting, so they can know, this might be what your descendants, you know what I mean?
They don't have to watch that. In fact,
I don't let them watch that.
You just need to explain to them, look,
yes,
this is the trials and tribulations we went through.
Yes.
Now we conquered it. Yes. Now we're here. You know, that's all they need to know.
Because I feel like I don't say this to be arrogant, but I just feel maybe I'm from the slaves that fought back.
Yeah.
Because I know in me personally, I'm going to die. I'm not going, you ain't going to tell me what to do. You ain't going to say, pick that cotton, boy. I'm dying, bro. I'm dying on that boat. Like before I get there, I just feel like I have that much pride where I'm like, man, we dying, one of us. You know what I mean? And I'm sure many of our peoples, and I'm sure even not to disrespect the people that went through slavery, because I'm sure they might felt the same way. And then maybe somehow they will got broken. I don't know. You know what I mean? In reality, we all probably feel you the same way. We all feel like we'll be fighting back, but when you're in that situation, you don't know when your will be broken. You know what I mean? But we think positive and say that we would have been the ones who killed a couple of them jokers and threw them off
Asians,
the boat.
The Asians in America at the time, we were slaves too.
Yeah, all Americans?
Who do you think built all the railroads?
The Chinese.
My cousins from, my cousins from another, you know,
Definitely.
But then what's this thing about, I heard about, The Prince Among Slaves?
Oh, yeah. The Prince Among Slaves is an amazing story.
School me on that, please.
You know, majority of the slaves, African slaves that came to North America, some say 60% were Muslim. Some say up to 60% were Muslim. The numbers vary. Depends on who telling the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So Abdurrahman was a slave from West Africa. Now, most people think, when they think of slavery, because you have to understand, Western society made slavery a black color.
Yeah.
If you look at the history, every nation had slaves.
Yeah.
Whether it's Asian nations, whether it's Korean, whether it's the England, they enslaved the Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery was part of every society.
Yeah.
Islam was the first religion that said, like, there's no way you can go and say, get rid of all the slaves. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, for example, some of the atonements for major sins mm-hmm. or big sins, he would say, Allah will forgive you if you free a slave, because it was always part of the culture.
Mm.
But Western society was the first people that make people, when they think about slavery, they equate black people.
Yeah.
They was the first ones when the slavery happened with the Africans and the Europeans. So Abdurrahman, he mentions that he was the son of a king in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
His father sent him to another village to wage war. When he went to the other village, they lost the war and they became captives. So
him being one of them too, right?
Him being one of the captives. He tells his own story later. Yeah. He says, so the Europeans, the British or the English and the Europeans, they would come to Africa and they were buying slaves. See, people have to realize that it wasn't like white people from Europe were just coming on boats and say, here go one, here go, without Africans putting up a fight. Africans was warriors. They known for that. You know what I mean? But they started off with trade. So Abdurrahman said, because I was a captive of this tribe who I lost the war with, the British and them would trade, and they would trade slaves.
Because that's how the war was, right?
If you lost, you become a captive everywhere. Yeah. So if you lost the war, you become a captive. So they sold them into slavery, and the Africans back then thought that, you know, slavery, the slaves would be treated the way they treat the slaves when they catch them. They give them basic human rights. So he said when he got to America,
And Europe, they thought that, they'll probably treat them good. We don't want, you know, even though they're our enemies and they lost, we don't want bad happen to them.
That's what they thought. So they thought the Europeans would do that. But the Europeans was looking at them like, we don't care about these people. We're going to take them. They're going to build the free land for us. After they killed the Native Americans, the Tainos and the Cherokees, they brought the Africans over there to build up the America. So so Abdurrahman, one day he was on the plantation.
Yeah.
And there was a British guy who would come back and forth to America for trade. He was a mm-hmm. businessman. He saw Abdurrahman. And he told the owner of Abdurrahman, he said, you must release this slave because he's the son of a king in Africa. He said, the British, we trade with his father. He's a wealthy king.
Yeah, and we don't want no problems.
Yeah, we don't want a problem. We go back, we messed up. He's so basically, and also he's an honorable man to them. Like, he's a noble man. Yeah. How can you take him like that? You must free him. So when they spoke to him about it, come to find out, Abdurrahman was like, yes. He saw the face of this white guy, said, yes, you traded with my father. And eventually he bought his freedom. They allowed him to buy mm-hmm. himself out. He went to Europe, to London, I believe. He had to work at a museum. And by the time he went to Africa, his whole family were deceased. But he was one who never gave up his religion, because a lot of the people would give up their religion. But Abdurrahman stayed on his religion. He was known to write Arabic. He was one of the most, and this is true. They said that the Muslim slaves, research, anybody can research, the reason why they was forcing Christianity quickly on the Muslim slaves, because they used to write to other plantations and said, if you have Muslim slaves, you have to hurry up and remove them from that religion
mm-hmm.
because these are the ones who fight back.
Yeah.
They're going to fight you back.
Yeah.
And these are the ones who was educated. So the Muslim, they say 90% of the Muslim slave was already writing. They was writing in Arabic. They was writing in the African languages. So they wasn't like, the image, once again, like the image, history, when you think about slavery, whatever, they will make it seem like they went to Africa and everybody was butt naked, running around, no shoes on, jumping.
Yeah.
You know, this is the image they showed. The same with the Native Americans. When you hear about the Native Americans, you have one letter of Christopher Columbus when he first ran into the Taino people. He said, these are people, they're well-mannered. He's like, the guys are handsome, strong mm-hmm. built. They very hospitable.
Yeah.
Then later on, you hear him writing letters saying these people are savages. We got to kill them. We got to force them into our religion. So his story, whoever wins, whoever conquered the land, he's going to tell
the story.
His story. Yeah. You know what I mean? Crazy, bro.
Yeah. But with that though.
Yes.
Like, what's this about the Lord's Prayer? Now, yeah, you got to tell me about that, because
I heard the slave do it.
during the slavery.
Yes.
I just learned
yes.
that majority of them were Muslim.
A lot of them was Muslim.
And also the Americans didn't want them to speak in their language.
Yes.
So if you become a Christian, you have to learn it in English.
And they give you certain rights. So basically, like back then, they would say, if you accept the religion of Christianity and leave Islam, then you have certain rights, sometimes even a freedom. So there was one slave, so I think his name was, he was faking the funk. And he had every right to do so.
So he was
wise.
Yeah.
Omar, I believe his name was Omar Ibn Said, where he pretended to be a Christian.
He was citing stuff in Arabic.
He was like, reciting stuff in Arabic, and he said I translated the Lord's Prayer.
He's in Arabic.
But later on, now the Library of Congress in America, they had someone come because they still have his documents.
Yeah.
They found out that it's a verse from the Quran that he never converted to Islam. He just pretended to
Christianity.
He never left Islam. And he did that to get certain freedom. Yeah. So you have to be wise. Though. You know, when it comes to slavery, Aki, it's very sensitive, especially in the West.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, most of the people in like Arabian, Arab countries, Middle Eastern countries, Asian countries, because of the propaganda from the West, when they think of slavery, they equate it to black people. You have to realize, even the time of the Prophet Muhammad, when the Muslims was being oppressed, the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi, one of the things, not the first thing, one of the things the Prophet told him is migrate to Ethiopia. There's a just king. Yeah. So when the Arabs were being oppressed, they went to Africa to get protection from a king. And then you also have one of the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was called, I think, one of the uncles was called, SubhanAllah. It's like the slave of the such and such. Thought, even though he was an uncle of the Prophet, they thought he was a slave of the Arab. So it was never, but unfortunately, even amongst our Arab brothers or our Asian, our Pakistani brothers, they fell victim to the propaganda of the West.
Yeah.
Where they would look at you and be like, oh, because of this, like they have this understanding. Because once again, his story, they tell a side of the story.
Whoever won.
You know what I mean? Whoever won.
Yeah.
But once again, slavery was part of every culture. Every culture.
Yeah.
Feel me?
Yeah. But speaking of that, but with that.
Yes.
Isn't that where rap came from? Like, where's the origin of rap?
Bro, some say the origin of rap. There was a brother I know from Philadelphia, man. He did some intensive research.
Yeah.
And when he came to me, I was shocked because I was surprised, you know, because Islam is poetry is actually part of the culture of Islam.
Yeah.
Even the Quran, because Arabs was known to be very good with their words. Mm-hmm. So when you read the verses of the Quran, it sound, you know, it has this rhythm flow with it, and a lot of it rhymes. So the people can know that this is, it caught their attention, but it was so eloquent, and they knew that.
And it sounds pleasing.
It sound pleasing, but they knew this was on a whole nother level. This is not from mankind. So poetry has always been part of the Islamic culture, whether from Arabia, and then when others accepted Islam, like in Africa, they used to write poems just to teach people poetry. So they say some of the Muslim slaves who enter America, they used to chant poetry. And then when they became, you know, English speaking people, they kept doing these chants and these poetry to the point where it passed down generation after generation to end up in the hood. And next thing you know, you got rappers doing it.
Yeah.
So the origin of, they say, rap comes back to poetry, which goes back to the African slaves, which goes back to Islam.
Yeah, that's crazy, you know? Though.
Crazy, bro. Crazy.
Yeah, I just got a history lesson right now.
History, man.
Mom, get your money back from the high school. I didn't learn jack. I just learned more here now than I did back then. Dang.
Yeah, they be robbing us, man. They tell their side of the story. You know what I mean?
So with the origin of rap being, you know, founded all the way down to Muslim, I have a question that everybody wants to know.
Well, I'll clear it. Won't say the origin of rap.
But you know what I mean? Yeah.
Because you got to clear this out. Mutar or Napoleon just gave a fatwa and said, Islam, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you know what? Pineapples. Rewind. We'll clear that. Let me rephrase that.
But it's come back from the Muslims.
From poetry.
Poetry, from the poetry that the Muslims used to have. Muslim slaves, they passed down to their descendants, ended up being in a hood. And they said, you know, you had a hip hop.
That's what I was trying to say. But okay, so from that, the question that everybody has always wanted to know, and I get asked this all the time, especially on our Instagram, which if you don't know, if you ask questions on Instagram, man, we'll address it in the podcast.
For sure.
Was Tupac Muslim?
Was Tupac
Muslim? Or Christian?
Good question, bro. You know, so most people think Tupac was Muslim because his name was Shakur, Tupac Amaru. First of all, Tupac Amaru is actually a Native American.
Yeah.
Named Tupac Amaru, I believe he's from Peru, from South America.
Yeah.
And
Peruvian,
Tupac,
right?
Huh?
Peruvian. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a warrior who was fighting against the Spanish. Mm-hmm. So he was a native fighting against the Spanish, a warrior. So Tupac's mother loved his story. So she named Tupac Amaru after this Native American warrior. Shakur, because Pop family come from the Black Panthers. A lot of the Black Panthers at that particular time, you did have Muslims like Mutulu Shakur. Mm-hmm. May Allah give him his freedom. He'd been locked up for many, many years. Really had no case against him. He's a godfather, Tupac. We pray that he get his freedom, inshallah. So people like Mutulu Shakur, he's Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a lot of the people around Pac and the Black Panthers that was changing names to what they thought was, you know, West African names. Mm-hmm. But you got to realize that 90% of West Africans in like Mali, Senegal, these are Muslims.
Islam.
Even back then, when Black people in America went through a stage where they didn't want names of the so-called oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
So they like, look, man, this dude named, no offense to Mikey, for example, but that sound like the oppressor name. I'm going to name my kids something where they thought was West Africa, which comes down to a Muslim name, Shakur, which is an Arabic name. Yeah. You know what I mean? So most people think Tupac Muslim because of that. Now, myself, I heard, well, when he passed away, I was in his room and I just went through his drawer and I seen the Quran. I remember he had the, you know, red rag right here. Mm-hmm. I remember like yesterday, folded up and then a bandana on me. And then he had the Quran right here. And I remember opening up. I wasn't even Muslim, but I knew the Quran, what it was, you know, close and put the drawer back. Now, you have some people that even told me, shout out to Salahuddin. He's an OG from the jungles. They call him the general OG right there. But he's Muslim because a lot of people from the jungles, the Black Peacestones, for some reason, a lot of them became Muslim years ago.
Yeah.
So he's one of the general, they call him General TS. So shout out to, I remember I ran into him before. He said, look, man, we, and Allah knows best. He said that he knows someone who said Pac took Shahada. Now.
Oh, damn.
Allah, let me go back to this. Now, if you were asked me, have I seen Islam from him? I would say no. Now that I'm a Muslim, have I ever heard him say he's a Muslim? Never heard him say he was a Muslim. Have I ever heard him say he's a Christian? Never heard him say he's a Christian. He only used to say believe in God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I can't come and say Pac was a Muslim when I never heard it from him. I never seen it from him. Now Gaddafi from the Outlaws, he's Muslim. And I remember before I was a Muslim, Gaddafi used to say, because his father's a Muslim.
Yeah.
Gaddafi used to say I'm Muslim even in some songs. He had a song with Pac, I believe it was Who Do You Believe In?
Yeah.
Where Pac was like, he believe in God. But Gaddafi clearly started his verse off saying, faith in Allah. So even though Gaddafi, you know, back then, he didn't have knowledge, but alhamdulillah, he was Muslim. He didn't have the knowledge to probably say, let me keep up with my prayers, go to the masjid. But at least he said, I'm holding on to my religion.
Yeah.
But for Pac, I would honestly say, I don't think so. But I hope that it's something between him and Allah, him and God. But I can't say he was Muslim.
Yeah, because maybe he just didn't want to disclose it.
No, he would have disclosed it to us. You got to understand, bro, we live with Pac up until he died. You know what I mean? And we sat around, we talked about everything Pac shared with us.
Because you guys were family.
We was family. Yeah. Like everything, we was in his living room and he would tell us everything. It wasn't no secrets or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have said back then, I'm Muslim. I know when he was in prison, I believe that's when he started reading more about Islam.
Yeah.
But he never came home and said that he was Muslim. So we leave that between God.
You know what I mean? Cool. Definitely. Dang, but with Tupac talks, okay.
Yes.
How's your boy doing? Rated R.
Rated R, man. That's another dude that I pray he get his freedom. For
He's
those
still
who
locked
don't
up,
know,
right?
Still locked up.
Dang.
I'm not sure they gave him life. I don't know. You know what I mean? But for those who may not know, Rated R is the original member of Thug Life.
Yep.
And I spoke to him, I would say, about a month ago. I did an interview with him over the phone. He's locked up in San Quentin, one of the worst prisons in the world, in America. But he's locked up in San... He became Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to, you know, Rated R. He accepted Islam. I was shocked.
While he was in, right?
While he was in.
Yeah.
You know, I would have never thought... this. The same way people say to me, they would have never imagined me being Muslim.
Yeah.
Rated R was one of the last guys because he was a hot head. He was a real gang member from the Rolling 40 Crips
who happened
to rap and connect with Tupac, and they saw the Thug Life.
Yeah.
And he was a hothead. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, even to the point where the members of Thug Life didn't want him in there anymore.
Yeah, some
right?
of the members, yeah. like he used to get into it with Big Syke. Big Syke, the homie, yeah. man. Big Syke passed away. He used to get into it with Big Syke because Big Syke from IVC, Imperial Village Crip, he was from Rolling 40 Crips from LA, and they used to get into it a lot. That's why Pac never continued to work with them because it was too much fiction. He's like, man, they bring in gang banging activity in the middle of Interscope yeah. Records. But Rated R, that's my brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. To the point where he changed a lot. And I hope that he get the justice because what, from what everybody say was self-defense. He's at his home.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Imagine
right?
you at your home and somebody come into your house to harm you. And what they say, he pull out a gun. I don't really know the case, so yeah. I don't want to say something.
But it don't matter. He was in his home.
He was in his home. So all I know from what I heard, I never discussed it with Rated R, but from what I know, he was in his home. The people try to do something. He pulled out a gun to defend himself. And the other dude lost his life.
Yeah, because if that was a white family that you know a white guy that was in his home and that happened,
yes,
it'll be a different story.
We don't know because we feel like they're being unjust to Rated R because he caught cases before. He was involved in gang activity before, but you can't say he was a gang member at that particular time because now he had a rap career.
Yeah,
and he at his house, bro. If you chilling at your house and somebody come to push up on you, you should be able to defend you. But you know, California got these harsh laws, 3-strike laws.
Yep,
where now you get 3 felonies.
Pete Wilson, Gray Davis, they're the ones who wanted to do all that.
Yeah,
back
3 felonies. Yeah. Imagine 3 felonies, you go to jail for life.
20 to life.
Like a dude can some felonies if like if he break in a store because he's so hungry, he break in a store and take a sandwich to eat. That's 1 felony.
Yeah.
Imagine you do that 3 times, you're in jail for life. Like some laws should be common sense, bro.
But at the time though, the governor and the senator, the yes. Congress of California, yes. they're trying to clean up the streets. That's why. Remember, because that was during the time where every nationality had a gang.
Yes, yes.
Crips, Bloods, Treses, you know, 18th Street.
Koreans.
Batos, you know. Like
Koreans. Gangs, huh?
Chinese, you got
Chinese, Filipino,
you know, true.
No, so of course rules is, you know what I mean? Rules is put in place for security. We're not stupid to say we don't want no laws, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because then...
And then, but yeah. I just hope Rated R, you know what I mean? They look into his case.
Prayers to Rated R.
If anybody looking that can help him look into his case, man, because he deserved to be out with his family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially, he didn't... even from what I know,
yes,
he was just defending himself.
Yes, bro. We should have... That's
in his own home.
That's the American way.
That's exactly the American way.
Like the American way, that's what we learned in, on history and channel. We learned that the cowboys and everybody, they packing guns, and we thought the American way is that we had a right to defend ourselves. Unfortunately, American culture is gun culture. You know what I mean? Like, it's sad, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's a mix. How you feel about that?
What, the gun culture?
Yes. I mean, like, the right to carry guns in the USA.
See, this is a shady subject for, you know, area for me to get into
because your job, where you
me
work
being
at,
an ex-military.
Yeah,
and
true.
My pencil was a rifle, you know, my calculator, because I'm Korean and I'm good at math. My calculator, instead of a calculator, I had a rifle.
Yes.
People would think, oh, you used to be military. You must have guns at your house.
Yes.
No.
It's good.
I don't believe in that. Like, you know.
That's good. I believe in this.
You know, if we got a problem,
yes,
let's take it out. Like, let's do it like men.
Yes, that's old school. You know, people don't do that no more. Though.
Yeah, but
I believe that I'm balanced with it. You know what I mean? I believe that everybody should have a right to defend themselves.
Yes,
and I believe weapons should. If you're going to carry a gun, legal, follow the law. Because I don't want nobody that listen to the podcast and they start going getting guns illegal and breaking the law and they end up in jail. We're not saying that. But legally, because certain states you can carry legally.
Yeah.
I believe in the legal carry on of guns. I think that's right. Especially in a place like America, it's dangerous.
Yep.
Here in Saudi Arabia, it's safe. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. We don't need guns here.
I'm carrying my strap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Legally. But I believe in that.
There's always that one person that ruins it for everybody.
That's
the reason why I can't do that, you know?
I feel you. To each his own, you know what I mean? I feel comfortable, like when I go back to America, I feel comfortable having a legal weapon.
Yeah.
Legal. I just feel I can do this.
You have a license.
I say, alhamdulillah. I have my license. I have my gun.
The state granted you permission to carry around a weapon.
And I don't break no rule.
For self-defense. Yeah.
For self-defense, because I believe everybody should have a right to defend themselves, self-defense, bro.
Yep.
That's it.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But hey, real quick, I want to announce this giveaway that Moo and me are trying to do. We have a fashion partnership with 1886 is a brand here in Saudi Arabia. They're up and coming. They're hot, you know? So we actually have a collaboration, the Mood2Q collection by 1886. Dope. So we're going to do a giveaway. With this ball being one of them. You can't buy this ball.
Can't buy the ball.
This is only for VIP guests, like celebrities and all that.
I thought that was mine.
Oh, no. This one's not yours. Hold up. This one's yours.
Oh, the black ball is mine. So what a coincidence. We're talking about racism. And you getting the black burnt ball. That joint burnt. The black ball is mine. The white ball is yours. Who does see?
Well, you see,
history, propaganda.
I'm a little offended by this because I'm yellow. So it should have been a yellow ball. But it's all true. It's all good. No, but so.
Nah, we joking,
with
bro.
This, hold on.
I ain't like that. Some of you, because there's some crazy people out there that they think everything they think is a race issue. Yeah, I'm joking, man. A dude can fall on a curb and they be like, I fell on the curb. The curb is here. Because you think I'm black, they put the curb here where I can't see. And I don't believe in that psycho stuff, bro.
No. So with the giveaway, guys, all right, we're going to give you, there's going to be a jumpsuit made. That's the Mood2Q collection by 1886. You'll get that. Couple of t-shirts, you know, just like this. Mm. Just like what we're wearing. It'll come in a nice nifty looking box like this.
Dope.
Mood2Q collection by 1886. The ball is the extra gift. Mm. Me and Moo, we're going to sign it and we'll ship it to anywhere in the world on us. I'm not going to tell you when we're going to announce when the contest starts. It's going to be the next few episodes. It could be next episode. It could be two episodes away.
Yes.
But it's not going to be that long. So don't worry.
So what they got to do to...
So, okay, hold on. Let me put
this up. To apply for this member to be able to get this giveaway.
All right. So to enter for this giveaway... On starting tomorrow, I'm gonna change the description in the bio of our Instagram, the pod.mood2q Instagram. All the Instagram accounts on there, along with the YouTube link, there's gonna be a set of instructions that you're gonna have to do. You're gonna have to follow every single one on the of those Instagram accounts. Follow, like. The recent post and comment in there my 1886 for every single one.
Dope.
Okay, from there and don't I'm Korean. We very micromanaging. I'm gonna go through every single person who enters and try to and see if you actually did it for everybody for every single one. So make sure you do that. From there, we're gonna announce the winner when we announce when the giveaway starts. And the way we're gonna announce it is out of nowhere. We're gonna have our little, you know. Discussion, our podcast going and out of nowhere. I'm gonna be like, wait, real quick, my 1886. Right when I say that, that means that's when the giveaway starts, the contest starts. So everybody, get ready. In order for you to know when it's gonna start, if you start doing it now, we're not gonna count it. It has to be from the time, and we'll post it too.
For sure,
we'll post an Instagram post as it just says my 1886. Then that'll be your key. So stay tuned for that. Keep an eye out for that. All right, moving on though.
Stay tuned, huh?
Yeah, I had to do that.
All right.
Yeah, dope, so. Dope. But with the, you were talking about Puerto Rico and the Taino and all that.
Definitely, man. So the Taino people, as I mentioned, was the people that discovered Columbus.
Yeah, right.
And you know, for.
Because Columbus' GPS, his Google Maps wasn't working and got lost in the middle of the Pacific Ocean or something.
They brought him to the land, dried him off, fed him, and he. Pretty much slaughtered them.
Yeah.
You know, and or forced them to dig gold, man. It's crazy what really happened.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So the Taino people, they thought was a deceased race of people. They thought that this group was eradicated off the first face
extinct,
of Earth. They
thought
there was an extinct race.
There's no more Taino blood around.
No more Taino blood. Until recently, DNA's testing allowed people to realize that majority of the Taino people, descendants, the Puerto Rican people, I mean, are descendants of the Taino. Dang. So, you know what I mean? But the sad part is that, you know, they're not federally recognized as a federally recognized protected tribe.
Come on,
America. Which we got to fix that.
Uncle Sam, pay them.
We fix that.
Pay
man.
Them.
Fix that, bro, because they're the original Americans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, I'm working on a project in Puerto Rico where I plan to build a mass ship for my mother. My mother's Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Actually, my mother's Puerto Rican and Cuban.
Yeah.
Most people always hear me just say I'm black and Cuban. I mean, black and Puerto Rican, they always think I forget about the Cuban side. And maybe that's because I'm not really connected to the Cuban side of my family.
Yeah.
You know, just the Puerto Rican side and the black side. Mm-hmm. So my mother's side of the family's from Puerto Rico. My grandmother's born and raised in Puerto Rico, migrated to mainland USA.
Yeah.
Married my grandfather who was from Cuba. And I have an auntie also in Puerto Rico, cousins. And my grandmother's youngest brother's in Puerto Rico. Do you know, for example, bro, I had a Puerto Rican auntie. My mother's oldest sister, my whole life I knew I had an aunt and an uncle in Puerto Rico. My uncle, my father's, my mother's brother, he passed away maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So I was too late catching him. My aunt, you know, I knew my whole entire life I had family there, but whenever I asked my grandmother, she would just rub it off. Like,
change
the subject. They don't speak English. How are you going to talk to them? Like, so, I, you know, but I never gave up. I kept trying. After my grandmother passed away, I asked my Aunt Tony, my Aunt Mamie, and I keep saying, listen, man, where's my family in Puerto Rico? I want to get in contact with them. And recently, my cousin, a year and a half ago, my cousin hit me up. He's Puerto Rican from New York. He's like, cuz, I remember you mentioned that you want to meet your auntie in Puerto Rico. I'm taking a trip there. I'm going to find her for you. Mm-hmm. So he called me one day, put me on a video call with my aunt. And it was amazing, bro, to get in contact with someone that the oldest sister of my mother. You know what I mean? Because I have this connection. My mom took 17 bullets protecting me and my brothers when she passed away. So I always have this special like attachment towards my mother, her family. So to reach out and find my mother's sister, that's just part of a duty that I feel like I'm doing something that my mother would be proud of.
Yeah.
And also Islam teaches us to keep family ties, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I got in contact with my aunt and my grandmother. I don't know my grand. I love my grandmother, but my grandmother, she was making it seem like my aunt don't know we even exist. So I asked my aunt, you know, she don't speak English. They translated for me. Did you even know that you had nephews and, you know what I mean, my brothers and us? And she ran and got pictures of us when we were small and, you know, beautiful person. My brother went and met her for the first time about two months ago.
Right?
Mooney was out there. So I plan to go to Puerto Rico, one, to meet my family, get connected with them. Two, to build a masjid, inshallah, on behalf of my mother because she comes from this place. My mother was a Muslim. She converted to Islam. And three, we're going to start working on the Puerto Rican coffee industry.
Speaking of that, that's why you like coffee so much.
I love coffee, man. But the Puerto Rican coffee, shout out to Gustavo from Colombia, the homie, my brother Mustafa. Yeah. You know, he pretty much helped me a lot with the little bit of knowledge I have about the coffee industry.
Now, real quick before you start anything though.
Yes.
The coffee in Puerto Rico. I heard that's supposed to be the best. Like, I heard even the Pope only drinks Rican coffee.
They say that the Pope only drinks Puerto Rican coffee. They say that Harrods, London.
In London, right?
They serve Puerto Rican coffee. In the past, Puerto Rican coffee was some of the best.
You
know, it was in the top 10
but what
of the
happened?
Best coffee. But you know, like when Americans took over Puerto Rico, they start taking a lot of the farmers to mainland USA and giving them these industrial jobs and they left off farming. Now there's a revolution happening where farmers are going back and they starting to get back into growing coffee in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know a lot of the Puerto Rican coffee is actually shipped from Mexico, some of it is even roasted in Mexico, shipped to Puerto Rico, bagged and then stamped as Puerto Rican coffee. We want to change that.
Oh, yeah.
We want to change that.
That probably made it look bad too.
It made it look bad. So we want to change
that.
Like
burnt it and all that.
They burnt it. So I've been in touch with a lot of Puerto Rican people that's involved in the farming out there.
Yeah.
Where you now have Puerto Rican farmers growing coffee, specialty coffee. So the potential is there. So we also have a team in Colombia. They travel around the world and they help build up coffee infrastructure where they go to the farmers and they teach them how to plant coffee better, how to get the best quality coffee. It's a team from Colombia that recently, they did the same thing in Uganda, Africa.
Yeah.
And now Uganda has some of the best coffee in the world. So they contacted me and they's like, look, through my friend Gustavo Mustafa, that they want to do the same project in Puerto Rico where Puerto Rico can have some of the best coffee in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of the best coffee because they have the soil, they have the land, they have the atmosphere for it, they have the height. And continue on this, so I was hollering at a friend of mine's named Vic. Shout out to Vic. He's a Puerto Rican homie that we grew up with, but he's a very good friend of a reggaeton artist by the name of Don Omar.
Don!
And I think you said you know Don Omar. That's your people.
All his songs, he goes, Don! Yeah,
you know that's what I mean?
So, I love this. Oh my gosh. I might be Asian.
Yes, yes.
But like, like I said before, you know, I used to have a lot of Puerto Rican friends, and they used to come to me to get the most latest reggaeton, you know, like Don Omar. Shout out to Don Omar.
Yeah, so shout out to Don Omar. So
vámonos hasta aquí.
I don't even know what he said in Puerto Rico. Taco Bells. That's all I know. Because quesadilla. That's all. I just ate one before I came in. That's the only Spanish you're going to get out of me. Fire grill, homie.
What was my call, dude?
I was rushing, bro. You was already here. Shoot. I needed the energy.
It's all good.
Nah, so basically, we talked with Don Omar.
Yeah.
And he definitely is interested to teaming up with us to help the coffee infrastructure in Puerto Rico. So the interest is there. He like, look, I have land in the mountains. If we can pull it off and make it work together, because my childhood friend Will and him are friends. So we trying to get the right players involved, the right Puerto Rican people involved.
Yeah.
Do we want to go back to the farmers, the Puerto Rican farmers, and let them benefit from growing their own coffee?
And Don Omar, what, he came here before, right?
He was here. Yeah. I think he came. Yeah. So he came in. And
I remember I was mad at you because you didn't tell me he came, and I'm like, oh, I missed him.
Yeah, because you know I don't go to concerts, bro. I don't listen to music. I don't go to concerts.
Dang.
But I try to get him to come to like you know chill at the coffee spot. Yeah. But he came in and out. So, but if they come again, we get him on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely
get him on the show.
And it'll be a Spanish podcast. I'll just spit to him in Spanish.
You speak Spanish, bro?
You'll be sitting there like, huh?
You speak Spanish?
Yeah.
You ain't even tell me that. See, now I know you the CIA, bro.
What do you mean? Now, when you're talking to your cousin in Puerto Rico, I was translating for you, remember?
That was Korean.
No, Puerto Rico. Oh. Remember when Mooney was in Puerto Rico?
Yes. You did do a little.
I was translating for you.
I thought you only knew about 4 or 5 words, bro. I'm like, man, you're fronting, man. You only know. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. That's all I know. My grandmother told me that.
He didn't even say it right, Don. Don Omar, he didn't even say it right.
That's the only thing my grandmother taught me, bro.
Damn, that's crazy.
So these are the things we're working on, man.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Mooney.
Mooney,
get
right?
Your vaccine so you come visit us.
My
man.
Brother
come
tripping.
On.
He like, man, I ain't getting that vaccine.
Come on, man.
My brother, he probably gonna get mad. I'm gonna say that when I'm gonna say this, but when he was kids, he was scared of needles. This dude will fight everybody on the block.
He's okay getting shot.
He got shot before.
Needles? No.
I think if you come at him with a needle, he'll run. Now, inshallah, he'll come.
Yeah, but anyway,
so yeah, bro.
Things are going well, man.
So what's up with you? When you going back to Korea, bro?
After that vacation, I don't know. That was a very expensive 3-day weekend. You know,
crazy, bro. You went at it.
But the COVID is so strict over there. Like, yes. I had to. I couldn't risk
you had
it.
To. Yeah. Smart.
You know, because then I'll lose my job here. You know,
yeah. So. Smart move.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right. Though, but real quick before there's a lot of stuff happening in the world right now.
Yeah,
like Lebanon, Beirut is hurting, you know.
Yeah,
shout out to Chef Hadi. He acknowledged me, you know, he gave me some knowledge on what's going on over there.
He introduced us together. Yeah, shout out to Chef Hadi.
Yeah.
I know his family's there, a lot of the Lebanese people.
Prayer to
make it easy for him. You know, Afghanistan, we pray to get peace out there.
And Algeria, I mean? Too, right? With all the fires?
The Algerian fire.
Yeah.
You know, Turkey, there was a fire.
Turkey, there was a big fire
you know
in Turkey.
So
you know?
We prayed that
shout
a lot.
Shout out to the whole world, you know?
Whole world, man.
All we're
trying
to promote is positivity and
for
peace.
Sure.
You know?
For sure.
Let's just chill.
We chilling, bro.
Let's just chillax. You know what I mean?
Chillax, huh?
Chillax and hang out and just.
But that's the vibe of Saudi. A lot of people don't know the vibe in Saudi is a relaxed vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because. When I ain't gonna lie, when I accepted this job and I have to go to Saudi Arabia, I ain't gonna lie, I was scared. I was as much scared as Mooney with someone with a needle coming at him. That's how scared I was. This is also my ignorant American way.
Yes.
Looking at Islam as a very aggressive and hostile.
Because that's what the media, unfortunately.
That's exactly CNN.
Propaganda.
Thank you, CNN.
Yeah, CNN.
You know, that's all your fault. But,
facts.
But after I got here, I was like, yo, it's actually safer here. I'd rather live here than LA. You know, as much as I love in LA, and I've always been to live in down LA, you know,
but
California,
bro,
love,
not,
you know.
Nothing beats safety. But, and not only that, like Saudi, the overall environment is peaceful. People don't know that. The people are chill.
You're riding your bike around your neighborhood.
Right.
And you post it on Snapchat.
Yeah,
and
I think that was like 2 in the morning.
It was 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning, riding a bike.
And I hit you up and I'm like, yo, are you trying to get shot? And then you went into the store and you left your bike there just wide open. I was like, yo, are you trying to get your bike stolen?
Yeah.
You're like,
safety,
nah,
bro.
It's not like that here in Saudi Arabia.
It ain't like that.
Yeah,
bro.
I love
no,
it.
Nobody's bothering nobody.
I love it.
Nobody tripping,
so,
peace.
Yeah, so
come visit us, man. They need to come visit and they see on their own, bro. For sure.
Yep.
So we close
I think we good, right? How long was that?
How long was that?
For all y'all who are watching, going, who you gonna talk it to? You know, our team's out there.
We got
you
a team now.
Too Big Chris. Big for no reason, Chris, you know?
Shams in the house.
Yeah, Shams in the house. Yeah.
How many was that? That was like 45 minutes, right? 56 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We good. What about you guys? You guys watching? Are we good? You guys want us to keep talking? Nah, we'll save some for next episode.
We'll save some for next time, bro. We gotta save some.
Yeah.
All right, bro. So
thank you to 1886 for, you know, the fashion partnership that we're doing. Shout out to 1886.
Shout out to 1886, yeah, man. I love the gift.
Shout out to MW Cafe.
MW Cafe, the best coffee joint in Riyadh, man.
I can't drink Starbucks anymore. Starbucks anymore. I can't drink that anymore. Thanks to you. Dang.
Welcome, bro. Man. Starbucks been killing the game for so long. Let us eat a little bit. Let us get a little bit of that money, bro.
Yeah.
All right, peace.
All right, we out. Deuce.
One.